Thanks for downloading this podcast, which is for personal use only. All contents are copyright Radio Show Limited and must not be reproduced, rebroadcast, or used in any form without permission. For contact details, go to www.radiolemon.com.
This is Toyota Tech Talk. Hello, I'm John Hindhoff. RadioLeMond.com has been given exclusive behind-the-scenes access to Toyota Motorsport, allowing us, and therefore you, a unique insight into how a World Championship team prepares to go racing. Before the first round of the FIA WEC at Silverstone, I sat down with Mathieu Lanail, representing the engineers, and driver Nico Lapierre. So, what has Nico been doing in the off-season?
We did a lot, to be honest. It was a really good winter for us, very busy because we started the test very early, earlier than last year, and we did much more than we did last year, so it was good. We did understand a lot about the car, the new car we use. We did a lot more mileage than we did last year, and now the preparation has been very good, and we had all kind of condition, which was important for us. And I have to say that now we are in a much stronger position than we were last year at the same time, yeah.
Well, last year, of course, was very much a development year. It was not necessarily meant to be a full competitive season because everyone, including yourselves here at Toyota, expected Peugeot still to be around. And really, I think you surprised everyone in the sports car and the motor racing world by just how strong the car was from Le Mans onwards. In fact, you won the second half of the season. That's what everybody keeps saying. Was that even a surprise, perhaps, within the team, that the car had so much potential and it delivered that potential so early?
It was a kind of a surprise to win three races for sure for the first season. That was not meant to be a season. You cannot say that it was not a surprise. But to be honest, the potential of the car, we saw it quite early because we tested a lot in Paul Ricard, and there we have a lot of reference. So we knew more or less that the car was going to be fast. Then the issue was the reliability for sure because, in this category, this is the most important point, and we knew that it was going to be tough. For Le Mans at least, and even if we did retire much earlier than we thought we would, it was something we expected a bit, you know. But then afterward, after Le Mans, it was really good because we had no more reliability issue, and winning three of the four remaining races was really good and more than expected from everyone.
And last year's car, of course, had to be, because of the time scale, had to be a bit of a compromise, because at the start of the programme you were evaluating whether to use the hybrid on the front wheels or the rear wheels, and that obviously made some compromises within the design of the car. Yeah. Now presumably this year you'd have none of those compromises, so do you feel the difference, and is the car better, and how is it better?
Yeah, the new car is definitely better. I mean, you would see it in Spa. But as you said, there is no more compromise on this car. Last year, we had to be very open-minded and keep a lot of solution on the car. But this year, we knew what was going to be good and what was the best for the car. So the car is optimized. And a lot of details, are much better than last year. Also, we had more time to produce the car, and everything is a bit better, you know. If you look at the car, you wouldn't see a big difference, but if you look deep inside, then you see all the small details are much better, and the car is really optimized this year.
Obviously, the big talking point was the hybrid system last year. One of the things that I love, and our listeners love, about sports car racing is the variety. And here are Toyota with a petrol engine car with a supercapacitor hybrid. Audi, your major competitors, have a diesel engine car with a flywheel. So even in this new technology, there's variety. Tell me a little bit about, from a driver's point of view, what it feels like to get that burst of power. Because you guys love power. There's never enough power. So what's this like, and what was it like the first time you drove the car?
Yeah, the first time actually I saw this hybrid system and the capacitor was at the factory, you know, when I did the seat fitting, and I was like, whoa, what's this thing next to me, you know, because it's quite big, and then you think it's a lot of power stored there. So to be honest, I was a bit scared at the beginning, you know, because it's quite new in motorsport, this kind of thing, at least this size, you know. And then first when I drove the car, the first time I felt it, I was like, wow, this is impressive. You know, this is serious power. It's not just like a little boost that you have there and there. It's a lot of power, you know. It's 300 horsepower for a few seconds. So it's really a big push, you know, and you feel the kick. And what is very impressive is that every time you brake, you will feel this kick after the next corner, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, all this energy is we're taking it from the brakes, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's like, if you don't have it, you waste energy, you know. So it's feeling really good. But then when you drive a normal car and you don't recover this energy anymore, you definitely feel that it's a waste of energy. You know?
Have you had to develop a new language to talk to your engineers to optimise how you harvest and indeed how you use that power?
Yes, there are a few terms that we never used before. You know, the 8 voltage or this kind of thing are quite new in the motorsport and in the debrief also, you know. And at the beginning when the Japanese engineer told us about the systems, he was using some term that was difficult to understand, but now we are getting used to them.
And we're at the start of the season now, so everything is possible. It's a great time of the year for everybody involved in motorsport because everyone can be a winner. Everyone can win a championship. But you guys really have to be looking towards the championship and towards Le Mans this year. So is there a sense of excitement? Is there a sense of hopefulness? What's the feeling in the team at the moment as we wait to get things underway here at Silverstone?
It is very exciting for sure, because the beginning of the season, we know that we have the potential to be world champion. We know that we have the potential to do something in Le Mans. But also there's a bit more pressure than last year, you know, because last year nobody expected us to win. So we are a bit relaxed. This year is a bit different. We come with 2 cars and for the whole season. So it's a bit more pressure on everyone. But for myself, yeah, I'm very exciting. You know, I have to say that I'm loving my partners. We are doing a very good team. And racing this world championship is a good opportunity for me. And the most important, I would say, is the 24-hour of Le Mans, because it's still my main target for this season. Yeah.
However, and finally, I know you've got things to do, but you've mentioned World Championship twice. You're an experienced racing driver. Does it make a difference to you that we are racing in the WEC for an FIA World Championship? Does that change your mindset? Does it make you even more determined?
Yeah, of course. I mean, it looks good on the CV. I mean, when you're a world champion of the FIA Championship, it's always better, yeah.
To achieve that line on the CV, Nicolas Lapierre needs not only the support of his driving colleagues, but also, of course, the engineering staff to give him the car to do the job. Mathieu Lenel is one of the engineers at Toyota Motorsport. I asked him about the bond between driver and technician.
It's quite important. I mean, one of the specificities of the of sports car racing is obviously you've got 2 or 3 drivers sharing the same car, and as we know, well, especially coming from F1, drivers do tend to have different likings in terms of setup, car balance, etc. But in sports car, they rapidly understand basically that it's in their best interest to make sure that the car balance is suited to as best as possible to them and their teammates, because at the end of the day, if their teammate is slow, their car is slow. So, but it's one of the challenges of sports car racing, basically, is to try to, you know, find the best setup as possible, but also try to work together with the drivers, try to suit at the same time suit their driving style to the car setup. But also, you know, it goes a bit both ways, I would say. And in terms of a relationship, I think it is working quite brilliantly. I mean, we're quite lucky to have a really good team of drivers, and they're really easy to get on with. And I think everybody's looking forward to the start of the season.
You have had the challenge of Formula One. How do these new breed of LMP sports cars compare with the technology and the challenges of Formula One? Are they pretty cutting edge?
I would say same but different.
Yes.
It's well, In terms of technology, I mean, I would say in terms of powertrain technology, etc., it's quite well advanced, even in some ways a bit more advanced than F1, because a lot of these systems are banned in F1. In terms of aero, it's also a very well advanced car. Of course, you've got the limitation of the regulations, but you know, in terms of car development, we go through the same process as we were doing in F1, try to optimize around the regulations as you've got.
And do you enjoy, is it rewarding for you as an engineer to work on something like the TS030 as it would be to be working at the sharp end of the grid in Formula One?
Yeah, for sure it is. I mean, at the same time, you've got the same demands as F1 in terms of car setup, development of the balance, development of performance. But at the same time, you've got also there's a bit more of an emphasis in terms of reliability and you know, easiness to work on the car and be able to quickly change parts at the pit stops. And because at the end of the day, you can be a second faster around the lap. If you lose 5 seconds in the pit stops, then that's rapidly not worth it. There's a balance to find, basically.
Yeah. And it's the start of the season. You've already been very busy. You have a new car to come on stream at Spa. Do you look forward to the season? Do you have excitement as we do as spectators?
Yeah, definitely. I think everybody in the team has been really busy working on the new car in testing, doing a lot of endurance sessions, and it's been. I mean, we can feel the step forward as a whole from the car for sure, but also from the team. You can feel the whole team is 1 year experience, and everybody's much more used to work together and. And everybody's definitely looking forward to it. And in terms of the first race, I think everybody's looking for it. We've had a session in the simulator this week with Stefan, starting to prepare the race this weekend. And yeah, you can feel the excitement building.
How big a part is the simulator, not just for the drivers, but also for the engineering side of things?
It's quite a big part. It's a really useful tool to have as an engineer. I mean, of course, it demands quite a bit of work in terms of development, in terms of correlation to the track data, because there's no point in working on it if it's not representative of reality. I mean, the process we go through usually is to try to keep it in line with reality by just correlating car models to the later session, and then get a driver to run it and make sure it's as much as possible in line with reality, and then work on the next step of development. And
is it possible to actually set a baseline setup for a car in virtual reality, that you roll off the truck and go, yeah, that's pretty much what we're expecting?
It is in some ways. I mean, you've always got to be a bit careful when you go to a new track, especially with a new car, because you've got to keep in mind that you've checked your car balance, your realism on another track in different conditions, and it might be realistic there, but if you get the grip a bit wrong on the new track, then things might be a bit different. But in terms of general direction, it's definitely useful. I mean, for example, the work we've done at Silverstone is just to try to evaluate a range of setup options, which we know we expect to be needed at Silverstone. And the general feeling from the driver is usually in line with what you would expect. But it's a useful tool to, in advance, prepare the session, get the driver to get used to the track, and then, you know the difference between one setup to the other, and be prepared when you're at the track to know that you've got this option which you tested in the simulator, case of, let's say, understeer, mid-corner, or whatever, that was working quite well in the simulator. Very likely, if you have this problem in reality, it will work as well. Then the question is always about the amplitude of the gain, which might be a bit different. You know, usually something that works in the simulator will work in reality, but the only thing you need to tune is how well it will work in reality compared to simulator. One way or another, it can be small gain in the simulator, but just very positive.
You said what a challenge it was working here.
with these very sophisticated cars. Of course, this is a world championship. It's an FIA world championship. Is there a little bit of an extra buzz that you get because there are those words, world championship? It's not just a set of races, although there's Le Mans in the middle of it, of course, which is very special. But world champion team, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the thing is, you know, last year we went into the season as it was our first season. We started midway through the, we started at Le Mans. So, you know, right away we know that from a world championship point of view, it would be difficult to win it. We just had some really good races last year. It just built up the pressure and now the excitement is there. And now we go into the second season right away from the start of the season with two cars ready, full attack, to go for the championship. And, you know, we went through scrutineering this time with Audi in front of us. And it's already starting. You can feel the race is starting and it's the game is on, basically.
Fighting talk there from Toyota Motorsport engineer Mathieu Lenel. You're listening to Toyota Tech Talk on RadioLeMans.com. I'm John Hindhoff. Quite apart from battling their major rivals, Toyota first of all have to meet the challenge of Silverstone and the Grand Prix circuit. We'll hear from Nico Lapierre in a moment, but what about the engineering challenges? Here's Mathieu Lenel again.
In terms of car setup, Silverstone is very much a high-speed track with a lot of high-speed corner. Turn 1, Turn 9, Copse, Becquets, then some medium speed like Stowe. So it's very much about having the maximum downforce you can carry whilst remaining efficient and remain reasonable in terms of top speed. So it's a bit of a challenge, but overall the bias is a bit towards downforce, and it's very demanding on grip as well. But the challenge is that at the same time you've got that, but on the other side you've got it's quite a bumpy track in some places, you know, with a especially end of straight with into Stowe, so you can see cars hopping around quite a lot. So at the same time you want a car that's quite stiff for the high speed corners that stays stable, but which can cope with all the bumps and curbs that you will meet around the track. It's just different. It's you know, it's one of these tracks which is more towards high speed and downforce generally. I mean, you know, rather than some tracks where you want a bit of top speed like Fuji or so it's just, you know, some different features compared to other tracks. And in terms of tires, you tend to be working more the front tires rather than anything, so that's what you want to watch. So basically try to keep the car as much stuck to the ground as possible with downforce, and but without such a need for protecting the rear tires on tractions as you would at other tracks. It's about trying to keep a stiff car for the high speed, so try to keep a stable platform from an aero point of view, but at the same time be able to ride the curves decently. Especially, you know, just before the big complex, you've got the last chicane, which has got quite a couple of big curbs. So you want to be able to ride these nice and gently. We've got quite a clever system designed by our colleagues in Japan. So in terms of management of recovery and boost, it's well integrated in the system, but I would say that in Silverstone it's maybe not the track where you benefit the most from it, because of you've got four braking sectors here, so compared to other tracks where you can have more energy deployed around the lap, this one is maybe not the best one in terms of an advantage, but still it's quite a massive advantage, and the driver always talk about it. So as you would remember in the past, we used to have F1 cars and some others, you used to run active systems where basically you try to cope with the bumps of the track and the demand in the ride but try to keep the car as low as possible and at the best attitude. It runs in the wind tunnel where it produces the maximum downforce with the less drag. So that's basically what you want. Try to keep the maximum downforce and also keep a car that's as consistent as possible for the driver, not that you have a consistent corner through the consistent balance through the corner from entry to mid to exit. And then you've got various means of playing with the setup. You've got mechanically, aerodynamically, you've got the traction control as well, which you can tune. So
when the engineering staff have done their job at Toyota Motorsport, it's down to the nuts behind the wheel. Nicolas Lapierre describes a lap of the Silverstone Grand Prix circuit ahead of the first round of the FIA World Endurance Championship.
Yeah, first of all, very exciting circuit for us. I think this track suits to our car very much. First part now is a really fast corner. The first corner, it's almost flat with our cars. A little bump in the middle, so very tricky. And then going to the second one, which is flat actually. And then you came into the very slow section. So it's a very big change of rhythm, you know. Two corners almost flat and then a big braking for very slow corner. And both in first gear. Very difficult for us when we get into traffic, you know, because the GT car take all the track and very risky to overtake them there. But if you stay behind, you lose a lot of time as well. So sometimes you end up in a very difficult situation there, whether taking the risk to overtake or not. For us, the left corner is very blind, you know. We are in a very difficult situation in this corner, probably the most difficult corner of the track. And then we head back to the what used to be the old track with the complex left corner in third gear. It's much faster now than before because the corner is more open than when we took the whole track. Quite exciting. You hit a lot of a curve there on the left side. You can go all over it. And then you have this long right corner, which was just before the old pit. Very long corner. A lot of understeer there. You know, it's really long corner. You have to wait a long time before getting back on throttle. And then you're heading to Cops, one of the most exciting corner of the track. It can be sixth or fifth gear depending on qualifying or race mode, but very fast. Just a small breaks before coming into this corner. And then you go wide. It's a bit easier now because they put a bit of tarmac on the outside, so give you a bit much more room than it used to be. And then you're going into the, I think, for me, it's one of the best part of the world, you know. The S of Beckett's is really exciting. You know, the rhythm and the flow into it is really good. And with the downforce we have on the car, it's a very exciting part, you know. Probably one of the most exciting part of the season. But as well, it could be complicated when you get into traffic, you know, because very tricky to overtake there. And as you have a few corners that are following each other, you can lose a lot of time if you stay behind a car. So that's a place where you need to take risk in the traffic, but that it can cost you a lot of time as well. So very tricky situation there. But in our car, the first left is flat. Then you have just a small lift for the right corner. And then for the next two is fifth and fourth gear, so very fast corner, very, very fast corner. And what I like in those corners is the rhythm, you know, because it's just tack, tack, tack. And if you get the first right wrong, then everything goes wrong, you know. And that's where you make time for qualifying, for example. That's where you see it's big balls corner, you know. So, yeah, it's very exciting. And then going to Stowe. You have a bit of a bump there just before this corner, and then it's a fourth gear corner. Nothing special into this corner. It's a cool corner, but not as exciting as the S of Beckett's. And then the new chicane. It's a very slow chicane as well. First gear, using first gear there on the left corner, and then it's a long right which you need to take flat, but it's not easy for the car because it's very demanding on the rear tires, you know, on the traction, and you need to be careful there. But also you need to do it flat, because then after is quite a long straight line, so it's important to have a good good speed on the exit. Yeah.
Well, the pace was good enough for first and second in qualifying, locking out the front row of the grid for the Toyota Motorsports blue and white TSO30s. In the race, perhaps not quite as planned, but third and fourth, good points at the start of the FIA World Endurance Championship season. Round two is at the classic venue of Spa-Francorchamps, and a new challenge, not just the circuit, but a brand new car for the Toyota Motorsports team. It's the race debut of the 2013 TSO30. We'll be there with more Toyota Tech Talk.